You know, what I'm trying to say this morning is there's problems in life. And then there's difficulties. There's situations that come into our life. And I listened to Sister Heather say this week. She said, the devil must hate us. Amen. And sometimes those things are directed at, we know that we're opposed in this life. Amen. We know that we fight the flesh. We know that we fight a battle that the supernatural. But there's just life out there, and life can be filled with some rough situations. And if I can have the ushers, I'm serious. Ushers, can you stand up? Where are you at? Where's the ushers at? I just have one usher right now. There, can you go back a ways? You come up, you go back. I'll tell you where to meet. Yeah, there you go, Howard. Can you come forward? Come on up, Howard. There you go. Stop by right there. That's good. You're about even with him. That's good. Everybody that's behind the ushers, if you could come in front of them and find a seat, I'd appreciate it. Ushers, just turn sideways where they all come up. That's good. You're doing this for me, and I appreciate it. I didn't bring my glasses down from my room. I can't see you back that far. I just see like little blobs and blurbs. And there's good seats right up front. If you're looking for a high dollar seat, they're right up front. That's good. That's good. Everything's going smooth. Nobody's getting hurt. Yeah, that's great. That's good. I see how you have shorter afternoon services. No water in the cup. Understand how this works now. Oh, here comes an usher. Okay, we still got some with the kids moving. That's good. Oh, they missed where the usher. No, the usher was in front of that place there. Usher was, yeah. All right, is everyone good? Everyone comfortable? Is everybody happy? It's good. Everybody happy? Okay, now I'd like you to stand, please. All except one lady, and she's sitting right there. Yeah, you. You can stay seated, and you don't have to move this time, okay? Like everybody on this side to go to this side. Everybody on this side, come on over here. Shake hands, tell each other you love each other, and cross, get seats on the other side now. Thank you. Everybody's helping each other. Good. 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 Everybody good? It's good. Amen. There she goes. There's room up here. You don't have to go back. No. You don't have to run to the back. You can come up here. There's lots of room. Okay, ushers, could you just check and make sure, is everybody ahead of where you were standing? That's what I need to know now. Is everybody pretty much ahead of where you said? No, I just don't say yes. I need to know for sure. Howard, how are we doing on that? Did they slide back?
No, we got a little backsliding.
That's called backsliding. See, what we're doing is just some real simple testing here. Real simple testing, checking you, testing you. Some people have a hard time being moved. Even physically, let alone spiritually. I've done this before. And I have had people so mad at me that their teeth hurt from gritting them. Just moving them. And then the question would be, if the man of God can't move you physically, how can he even move you spiritually? You've already come set to where you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to be where you're going to be. And a lot of times we even just waste our time coming to church because we're not going to let God move us. Amen?
Yeah.
And if we do move, it's going to be on our own terms. I remember one time I had some big boy, and he sat in the back of the church, and he just did this. Looked at me like that. I said, "Hey, buddy, we can wait on you." Like 200 people in that church, they turned around and looked at the guy. You know what he showed himself? Unsubmissive, unobedient, not willing, rebellious, not ready to move and do what God wanted him to do. It was just a couple weeks, he was out of the church. But sometimes just simple things show us where our hearts are. Amen? Aren't you glad we're not going to preach about that today? Take your Bible, turn to Acts. Acts in chapter 16. Father, we pray that you help us today. Father, we pray that you'll help us to give the word that you'd have us to give. Father, in the way that you'd have us to give it. Father, and that it would be received in the way that you'd have it be received. Father, and enacted in the way that you have it be enacted. Father, we're going to give you all the praise for what you do in our midst in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life's full of troubles. Amen? Hello? I mean, Brother James said it today. He said, life is full of born of trouble. And the sparks fly upwards. And I know that in most instances, life is full of trouble. And you start out crying. Amen? I mean, that's one of the very first things you do. I mean, life's hard. You come into life and little babies crying. We start out crying. And then along the way in life, there's bumps and there's bruises and there's cuts. And there's hurts and there's colds. Amen? Have you ever been to a black church? Amen? Now they get into the services. Amen? Have you noticed that they get into the services? I remember I was preaching in San Diego one time. And I preached to a black church in San Diego. And I was started to preach, and it was this big, I mean, huge black woman sitting on the front row. And I started preaching. She'd go, "Mm-hmm. That's right. You know where we at, preacher?" Amen. I want to tell you what, I about preached myself out of my shoes by the end of the service. Those people got involved. So let's just pretend like we're a black church for a little while. Amen. Just come on back in the service. Now, I said life's full of problems. I'm telling you, we have bumps and bruises, cuts, hurts, colds. Amen. That's what it's like. Amen. And then there's the flu. Oh, the flu. And there's throwing up. And then there's relationship problems. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about now. Amen. And there's family problems. Could you come and get on the organ, Willie? No, I'm joking. And then there's children problems. Spouse problems. There's friend separations, and there's heartaches. There's addictions. Come on, I've seen you guys eat this week. There's sickness and disease. There's cancer. There's car accidents. Church problems. There's heart disease. Diabetes. There's floods and fires. Bills and bill collectors. Oh, yeah. Everyone woke up, praise God. Amen. There's lawsuits. There's enemies. There's lies. There's cheaters and schemers and gimmicks. Yeah. Then there's those old lemons. Amen. You thought you were getting a deal and it was a lemon. Then there's those breakdowns and breakups. There's fever sores, break sprains, and then there's old. Amen.
Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's right, preacher. There's old, amen. There's glasses and false teeth and doctors and attorneys. There's heart attack and heartbreak. Disappointments. Disillusions. There's setbacks. I don't know how we get through this without mentioning ingrown toenails. There's ingrown toenails, and then there's stepping on a nail. Like the old song said, there's the old dog bite and the bee sting. There's snow, mud, and rain, wind, heat, lions, tigers, and bears. And we haven't even talked about politics. You know, what I'm trying to say this morning is there's problems in life. Amen. There's difficulties. There's situations that come into our life. And I listened to Sister Heather say this week, she said, the devil must hate us. Amen. And sometimes those things are directed at, we know that we're opposed in this life. Amen. We know that we fight the flesh. We know that we fight a battle that Brother Thurman talked about this week that is supernatural. But there's just life out there, and life can be filled with some rough situations. Now, we come to Acts in chapter 7, or chapter 16, and we see that the Apostle Paul is in the midst of these some of these situations. And the Bible says, starting in verse 22, we know that the Apostle Paul has been witnessing for the Lord. He has met this woman, Lydia, the seller of purple, and God is doing something fabulous in her life. God's working. God's changing people's lives miraculously. And in the midst of doing right, and in the midst of living his life, in the best that he knows God would have him to live it, all of a sudden problems start coming in. And then sometimes we get the mentality that if I am doing what God wants me to do, and if I'm living right, and if I'm going to church, and if I'm reading my Bible, and if I'm praying, then everything's going to be okay. But listen, there's really no Bible precedent to say that's going to be the way it is. Life's going to keep coming at you. And there's going to be, either way you look at it, there's going to be problems or opportunities that will continue to flow in. Amen. And those things that come in, God a lot of times is using them in your life to chisel and make you what you ought to be. I mean, if you could just vision yourself as you are this big piece of rock that has a diamond inside of it, and God has a chisel, and that chisel is called the Word of God, and He hammers on you with that chisel. He is knocking off all those things that are impurities and take away from the beauty of the diamond within. But God is making you to be precious in His sight. And in the midst of that, the hammer keeps swinging. The difficulties come. The problems come. The situations arise. Life comes at us. And God uses all of these to make us what we ought to be. And we see here, starting in verse 22, that in the midst of the Apostle Paul preaching the Word of God and following what God would have him to do in his life, it says, and the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And let me just say this morning that the way is not always smooth. The way is not always easy. I implore you, don't throw your hat out into the wind each day and see which way the winds are blowing to determine which way God wants you to go. Just because things are rough doesn't mean you are out of the will of God. I can remember someone at my dad's church, and they'd been there for a while, and they said, Pastor, ever since we've been coming here to church, everything's going wrong in our life. I mean, the problems keep coming. Obviously, this isn't God's will for our life. So they went on down the road. Do you think the problem stopped? No. God was trying to do something in their life. They were resisting it. They thought that there was a place that they were supposed to be other than this place. And that then once they got to that place, that everything was going to be better. But the place was actually a spiritual place in their life.
Amen.
And God doesn't always say that it's going to be smooth. Amen. It's not always in God's design. Now, I want you to notice there were some things that Paul did while he was in the midst of these problems. And I think that there are lessons for all of us to know the thing that we ought to do when we get into the midst of problems and difficulties. Number one, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul was waiting on God. And it says that when they, who having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks at midnight, Paul and Silas sang, prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That in the midst of being chained down, and a lot of times, here's what we believe. We have this mentality that waiting means to sit down in a location and see if God will pass by. I mean, we think that waiting is like standing at the bus stop. And see, well, is this the one right? No, that's not the one. Is this the, no, we'll just keep waiting. But I believe that what God actually means by waiting is that we would take the attire of a waiter, we would put the cloth over our arm, and we would come and we would say, "Dear God, what can I get for you? What can I do for you? How can I serve you?" Actually being a waiter and waiting on God and serving God and giving to God, it's in the midst of the service that God says, "Okay, come this way and go this way, and now I want you to come over here." A lot of us draw back when God's saying, "Hey, I want you to engage more. I want you to serve me. I want you to wait upon the Lord. Lord, what will you have me to do?" So we see Paul and Silas are in the midst of the jail. And what they start doing is start having a church service. Amen. They just start singing and they start praising the Lord down here. And I want you to, as you're looking at this portion of Scripture, we can see, first of all, they're waiting. Second of all, they're worshiping. They're worshiping. James, you touched on it this morning and you said a word, and I hope I'm not correcting you. I know you were just preaching and it probably came out. But you were talking about in everything, give thanks. And you said, "I've had some problems, and some of those I've worshiped the Lord and just praised Him for them." Hey, God wants us to worship Him in all of them. Because He said, in everything, give thanks. In death and in life. In times where we have prosperity and money, and times when we don't. And we see here that the Apostle Paul, in a time, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, boy, God, look, this guy just got whooped. He got beat, his clothes were stripped off him, his dignity has been erased, and in front of everybody, here this bold preacher of God now has had stripes laid on his back, and now he's been thrown into the inner prison. I don't know about you, but maybe I would be thinking about maybe at least throwing up one little complaint. Amen?
Yeah.
Paul says, "Hey, Silas. You know any good songs we could sing to our Savior while we're here?" God says, "Hey, what about 'Oh, How I Love Jesus'?" Paul says, "Oh, I love that song." They just start singing there they're just worshiping God. "Hey, Lord, thank you that we were counted worthy for your sake to just take a stripe. Father, we know what you went through for us. And you counted us worthy here." Well, I'll tell you, sometimes the first thing goes wrong in our lives and our chin has hit the ground. We're in despair. Oh, everything's going wrong. We got preacher on the speed dial. Psh, preacher, I've got to talk to you. It's an emergency 911. Amen. We got to do something. What's wrong? Well, this is falling apart and this is falling apart. Hey, have you worshipped Him? Have you just started praising Him? "Thank you, Lord, for what you have for me. Thank you for what's going on in this situation. Thank you, Lord." What's the solution? How are we going to get this fixed? I mean, what? Have you just stopped to step back and say, "Okay, Lord, what do you have for me? Am I serving you in every way that I can?" And we see here that Paul and Silas, they're waiting on God and they're worshiping the Lord. And thirdly, we see here that they're witnessing for Christ. you know, I think I could have fully understood at this time in Paul's life and in Silas's life, if for once maybe they could have said, listen, we've been pouring ourselves out. We've been telling everybody about Jesus. But for right now, it's time to think about us. I mean, we've been beat for crying out loud. We've been thrown into jail. I mean, all our kids have the flu. And it's time just to think about us. Now they start witnessing. They started singing, and the Bible says here that all the other jailers, or all the other prisoners heard them. Hey, people are watching you. They're watching to see how you go through the storm. I mean, it's nice for you to be able to say, you need to come to our church. I love going there because whenever I have a problem, I can call the preacher, and he'll help me. I mean, that only just goes so far. Amen? Or you can say, hey, you know what? Let me invite you to our Savior. Mm-hmm. I can worship Him. I can praise Him. I can witness for Him. And as people see you go through, you don't even have to speak a word to them. They're watching what you're going through. You know, and I was thinking, just as you're watching the neighbors, they're watching you.
Yeah.
You don't even realize it, but they're watching you. And they know when you, they hear about some of the things you're going through and wonder, how are they going through them? And I'm telling you, I can remember working on the docks up in Cleveland, and my brother Steve and I, you'll meet Steve this next week, we declared those docks, we declared them a no-swearing zone. Steve and I, we enforced it. And we'd get those truckers that would come in from all over the place, you know, and they'd say, and they'd sort of, but they came in continually. And we let them know first time, there's no swearing on this dock. There's no swearing here. They go, what do you mean there's no swearing? We said, well, that guy over there and this guy right here, we're the guy that unloads your truck. And if you want your truck unloaded this week, you won't swear. And we'd grab them and throw them on the ground, you know, and Steve and I'd beat the snot out of them, you know, just playing with them and stuff like that. But you know what, guys, they knew what we stood for, and they respected it. They were watching us. And pretty soon we had guys coming from all across the country, pull their trucks in there, and they knew, they would apologize if they swore and took the Lord's name in vain on our docks. Why, we just staked out that territory for the Lord, that was ours. And then, hey, listen, I'm telling you, the world's watching you. And God's called us to be a witness for Him and to have that. And when I think of those guys and those three things that they were doing there as they were waiting on God and as they were worshiping God and as they were doing all that, they were witnessing for the Lord. Hey, listen, let me just say something. This ought not to be the only place you sing the songs of Zion. And they ought to be on your lips as you go out throughout your week. You ought to be singing to the Lord. Amen. Let your neighbors hear you sing as you mow your lawn. Amen. Let them hear you humming a tune. Hey, what is that? Oh, man, that's a song about my Savior. Hey, listen, when we get saved, it does something within us. The Bible says He gives us a new song. There's something that comes out of us. And thank God it's that new song. Because we've been set free. And even through the hard times, God gives that song. I can't explain that song to you. Let me just tell you a story. One evening, my phone rang. And they said, preacher, you need to get to the emergency room right away. There's a young girl. Her name was Tiffany Jackson. And she had fell off her horse. She was riding it bareback. And the horse had stepped on her. They rushed her to the hospital, and where I live, it's a little different. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. Preachers can walk right into the emergency room and right in behind the curtain. And I walked back in there, and there was young Tiffany. Her abdomen was swollen up to here because they'd given her so many units of blood and plasma already. Her liver had been split in two when that horse stepped on her. They said, we're gonna rush her to Charleston. We're getting the helicopter in here, and that's about an hour away the way you drive. And they said they're gonna get her down to Charleston. And I hurried and went home, and I have a bag that I carry a lot of times because, you know, you never know if you're gonna spend a day or a week at the hospital with somebody. And took off, got down to Charleston. They said, preacher, you need to get back here. And got back in the room, and they had already completed surgery on her by the time I drove down there. They had repaired the liver, but they could not get her body temperature to come back up. And they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked on that young girl. And finally the doctor turned and she looked at the mother. She said, "That's it, we can't do anymore." I remember that they brought the family in and the mother collapsed on the floor and started screaming, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And lost family members all around. I mean, the brother was a member of our church, and that was only a connection. This room was just filled with lost people, and they're screaming and hollering. And in the midst of all that confusion in that room, it was like God just put me in a little light capsule, and a song just flooded through my being. And in all that confusion, I could hear, "When peace like a river attendeth my soul." And I just stood there in the midst of all that confusion, that girl lying dead on that table, a mother on the floor squalling, with peace beyond belief. I didn't know a whole lot about her mother, but they asked me to come to the house. So I came to the house and they asked me if I would preach the funeral. Being a young teenager, they had to have the funeral at the school gymnasium to fit all the people. I remember that her casket was laid out there and they had at least 400 seats in front of us, and then they had the bleachers up this way and the bleachers up this way, and all the kids from the community came in. And God allowed us to preach the gospel. There were so many hands raised for Christ that day, I couldn't count them all. You say, "Pastor, do you believe they're all saved?" I believe the ones that got saved are saved. I believe that's up to God. I was just faithful in what I was supposed to do. But God had a purpose, and He gave a song. And in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the trials, God can give you a song, and that song can be a witness to the others that are around you. I want to tell you something. There was a reason that the Apostle Paul was able to do that in that situation, because he had a relationship with God. God was his Father. You know, God yearns for a relationship with us. I think of the young boy, and his father knew that his birthday was coming up, and the dad thought, "Well, go ask my son what he wants for his birthday." And he said he's imagining, you know, some kind of electronic thing or a computer or some kind of a truck that was ran remote control. And he went to his boy and he said, "Son," he said, "your birthday's coming up, and I was just wondering what you wanted for your birthday. I'd like to get you something." And the boy looked at his dad and he said, "Well, Dad," he said, "I was wondering if maybe, you know, if it's all right, if you could get a football." Dad said, "A football?" He said, "Well," he said, "if not a football, maybe a soccer ball. And I was hoping that, well, you know, Dad, I know you're busy and everything, but maybe you and I could go in the backyard. Maybe we could throw the ball around a little bit. Maybe we could just kick it back and forth." And he's got a ball. And he said, "Dad, I was just hoping that maybe we could spend some..." You see, what the boy wanted was not all the things that Dad could give him. What he really wanted was Dad. You see, and a lot of times we don't have that relationship with God because we're treating God like a Santa Claus or a genie. And we're saying, "Dear God, give me this and give me that and give me this thing over here. And you know, I've got this bill and I have this thing going over here." And God's saying, "Hey, what about me?" I say, "Lord, I'd just like to spend some time with you." And when we have that relationship with God, then we go through those situations and those problems, and we can wait on Him. Why? Because He's always been there. We can worship Him. Why? Because we know Him and He's worthy. We can witness for Him. Why? Because there's no greater one in our life that we want to tell anybody about than Jesus.
He made a difference in his life. Now we know the rest of the story. That Philippian jailer got saved. You know, when I think of that Philippian jailer, I think of another guy. His name was Joseph. You kids probably heard about his coat. He had a coat of many colors. Brothers hated him for it. In fact, they kind of got a little upset about it, to the fact that they dug a hole or had a hole and stuck him in it, and they sold him into slavery. You say, Pastor, how does that story remind you of this story? Because the very people that did Joseph harm and the very people that did the Apostle Paul harm, those were the people that God wanted him to minister to. Now let's step back and think about that for a second. Your family member, a person that's hurt you bad, that person that's treated you with disdain, that might be the very person God's called you to be a blessing to them and to witness to them. It wasn't the words, but it was the actions. When the earthquake came, Paul didn't take off running. When the brothers came, he didn't throw out fire and indignation. There was mercy. My friends, I don't know who God's put in your life, and you might think they're the enemy. You might think they're the one that's against you, but they might be the very ones that God has placed in your life for you to make a difference for. That's only going to happen with a personal relationship. Let's narrow this thing down just a little bit more before we're done, okay? Is that all right? Your first place of ministry is in your home. Christianity is just a word we can float out there if it doesn't do something special in a relationship between a husband and a wife. Hello? You say, Preacher, you don't understand. My wife's lost, or my husband's lost, or I want to go on for the Lord, but my husband doesn't, and I want to do something for God, but my wife, she doesn't. That is probably the very exact person that God has for you to minister to. Amen. If Paul is all concerned about himself, if he was all concerned about, you know, if he was going to get out of there, if his wounds were going to get treated, if justice was going to come to him, he'd have took off running probably. But he knew he was there for a greater cause. I know you can't push water back over the dam. You might say, well, I should have never. You're here. You're here. What are you going to do for God? What are you going to do for God there? Are you going to wait on him? Are you going to worship him? Are you going to witness? Somebody's dependent on what you do. They're dependent on you to live right for God. You say, well, you know, that's my husband. That's my wife. That's right where God's put you to minister. Those are my kids. It's my neighbor. That's right where God has for you to witness. Hey, buddy, if you can't shine where you're at, you can't shine in Italy. I'm sure you do. What did Mom always tell us? If you can't shine where you're at, you can't shine where you're going. Amen? If you can't be faithful in the little things, you can't be faithful in the big things. Starts at home. Starts at home. Serving God. Right where God has you. Don't say, well, one day I'm going to have a ministry. No, no, you're mistaken. You have a ministry right now where you're at. You just don't know it yet. You say, well, I want to go here. There's people here. No, there's people right here. Let's be what God wants us to be. I know. Difficulties come. Problems come. But one day, I want to hear something. I want to hear something. I want to hear it really bad. I've got a black lab. I've always enjoyed black labs. They are the friendliest dogs. You can reprimand them, and they'll come right back, and they're okay the next day. And they're big. You know, I have a black lab that every morning I go out and sit on the couch, and he probably weighs, what, Twyla, 85, 90 pounds. Yeah, he's big. He's only 10 months old. He still thinks he should fit on my lap, and he does. He comes up the front and sits on my lap. Then he puts his paws around my neck like this, crosses them by my neck, and then he licks my face. He licks my face so hard that this lip goes over my nose. And is that the truth, Twyla? Yeah, I'm telling you, and I can get hard with him and mean with him, and when I get home, he's going to tear me up, just so happy to see that I've come home. But you know what? You can work an old black lab, and I love it. If you've ever seen them, you get them out, and they're called water dogs. They just love to swim. They love the water. If you ever have a black lab, you're going to be washing them all the time if you have them in the house, because every little mud puddle or thing, they go lay in. They just love the water. Well, you know, God created them that way, and I used to do a lot of duck hunting. And those black labs, you'd sit them beside you, and the ducks would come, and I used to have a black lab, and his name was Buddy Boy. My black lab's name right now is Lima Bean. But Buddy Boy, he would see the ducks before I could. And he'd sit there and he'd go, looking for me. And I hope you're not an animal activist, but you know, I'm following these ducks over and bam, I'm shooting at the ducks. And most of the time I miss, so don't feel too bad for them. I'd miss and old Buddy would look up at me like, he couldn't believe I'm, but when they went down, oh, that was what he loved, because that was the way he was made for. And I would take and I would throw my hand like that. And he would launch out from where he was. I mean, just way out into the water. And sometimes there would be a skim of ice on the water, and he'd break ice going after those ducks. And sometimes he would dive underwater. That dog would dive underwater and swim and get those ducks. And as many times as I went like this, he would go. Because of the curvature of the earth, and the water being at his eye level, a lot of times when he got out in that water, he couldn't see where the duck was. I'd have to whistle for him. He would paddle and lift his head and look back at me, and I would give him directions. This meant go to this way. This meant this way. This minute was behind you. Go further. This one might come back. All those, he understood all that, and he would do that, and he would bring that duck back to me, and he would deliver it to my hand, and I would say, good boy, good boy, good boy. Oh, my goodness, was he so excited. I'm telling you, folks, I just want to swim to heaven's shore with the duck in my mouth and have the master pat me on the head and say, well done. Well done. You did a good job, boy. And please, my master. You know, that ought to be our heart's desire. In the troubles, in the trials, in the relationships, in the dealings that we have, that we would always wait, that we'd always worship, and we would always witness for our Savior.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.